more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control.
Sing that again. Hallelujah.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control.
Again, hallelujah.
Right there.
Amen.
You just sung about my whole life.
Yeah, it is.
You know, when you start off, you're going on knowledge.
Yeah.
Just be honest about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Didn't know all this fit together. It's revelation.
Yeah.
But, you know, then you begin to
learn
a little bit from that knowledge.
Yeah.
Learn what it really means.
Amen.
Yeah. Know there's some depth to it. And then you begin to learn how to die to your own thinking.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you make all kinds of mistakes.
Yeah.
Life.
Run too quick.
Mm-hmm.
Go too slow.
Yeah.
Everything else in between.
Yeah. Amen.
But as you come along, you know, Brother Childers, one time I remember he was facing all these ministers, you know, that thought they knew more. Mm-hmm. And they was accusing him of not being humble.
Right.
He said, "I'm the most humble man you've ever seen."
Right. Yeah.
And him just fighting them, you know, every word, wouldn't let a word get out of their mouth, you know. But he's humble to the word.
Right.
You know, and this is a progressive thing.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, every time I think I know something, It's not too long. I found out I didn't know nothing at all.
Right.
It's, you know, it's beautiful the way it is because it's never ending. It never gets old.
Right.
It's beautiful. Amen. You constantly learn how to overcome.
Amen. Yeah.
Constantly learning what that means over and over and over again. You're constantly falling in love with Him.
Yes.
Over and over and over again. And it, you know, it's just beautiful.
Yes.
You know, because He's with you.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's with you every day. He knows my every care.
Right.
And he's constantly dealing with his sons.
Right.
Only his sons.
Right.
You know, and it almost breaks your heart to see somebody that out here thinks they're doing something and don't even care about God.
Right.
Don't even want God. Don't even, you know, to me, I was telling Jim a little bit ago, to me, it'd just be so easy. It used to be, seemed like, you know, serve God. At least serve God in your own way.
Yeah,
at least be mature and get along with somebody else that says they're serving God. But now they want to kick and fight and all the drama. And you think, my Lord, what's it coming to? But I'm so thankful for that walk. And it's, you know, it's been Him.
Amen.
You know, I liken a little kid, you know, he's just interested in everything. You know, he's finding a bug and finding a little leaf, you know, and this way and that way and this way, you know, and his dad just keeps pointing it back to the path, you know, saying, we're going this way. And dad's got the vision. Kid don't know what he's doing. He's just being led.
Right.
And that's been me, and that's even me now. I don't, you know, I truly know what Paul was saying. You know, I don't count myself to have attained.
No. Right.
But I do leave that which is behind. I press on to that which is before.
Right.
And that's an always present tense thing that every believer does.
Right.
You know, and it's just a beautiful walk. We walk by faith.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Really happy to be here. You know, I missed a couple services. And I was just thinking, it's so fun to watch how God works, you know. Jeremiah went to California and I was able to go with him. He was on a work trip. And so many things, I mean, all the things happened before then that tried to stop me from going. And I told my mom, I said, either God doesn't want me to go, or there's going to be something amazing there, you know, when I get there. And God let me go. So, you know, my flight got delayed. And I was so nervous because I wanted to get to the Pinnacles. I'm a national park geek. I wanted that patch, you know? And the gift shop closed at 4. And I was so nervous. My flight kept getting delayed. Well, then I get there at like 4:10, and the sign still says open. So I walk in. And the nicest lady ever, she was like, oh, honey, let me close that. She needed to close the sign because they closed at 4. But she let me in. She showed me a few paths to take. She let me buy my souvenirs. And I was like, you know, if I hadn't gotten delayed, I wouldn't have met that woman. She wouldn't have been able to do for God, you know. And it all the way around, we were in the hotel, and I had an ice bucket. I was going to get some ice. And the nicest lady walks in, just got there, grabbed my bucket out of my hands because she wanted to get me ice. You know, I'm like, I can't even help it. It's crazy. You know, and it's just all the things, you know. I really, really, really enjoyed Sunday night. It was very informational to me, and I've never heard baptism like that. It was different, you know. And so we're filling up this baptism, right? And I mean, it kept leaking, water kept going down. I tried filling it up I don't know how many times, had to buy a new stopper. And Jeremiah was like, you know, God's gonna be working, Satan's upset. And I was like, okay, yeah, I see. But it's funny the way that, you know, the headship works or whatever. I went and filled it up, and I had noticed an odor. It's a newer paint or whatever. And we were walking, and I mentioned it to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was like, oh, we need to get that taken care of, like, right now. And I was like, well, why did I fill it up? You know, I was trying to help you out. I don't want you to worry about it. So then he calls James, and James comes over here, and it's leaking. And we wouldn't have known that if my husband hadn't, you know, said we need to do it now.
Amen.
You know, it's just, it's always, it's so fun to me to see how God works, you know.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what God does tonight.
Amen.
You know, what he's progressing. I thank God so much for this revelation.
Right. Yeah.
To know what I know. You know, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to get baptized again. When I was 12, I knew, 20 years ago, I knew that this was the right word. You know, I knew that this was where it was at. And I knew that it was an outward work of an inward, you know, outward sign of inward work, right?
Yeah. Right.
But I didn't fully understand it like I do now. You know, with the revelation I have now is the same revelation, but my understanding is way farther along, you know?
Amen.
And I was thinking, too, I was a young person. I was 12 when I first started, you know, serving God, and 14 when I first started talking to Jeremiah, you know? And to the young people, start now. It's so much easier. You know, I've watched my friends struggle and not do it the right way. And you know, some of them are here right now. And I feel for them because I have such a beautiful peace. I have a wonderful husband. I have, you know, this revelation that gets me through because, you know, this life is temporary. This is 100 years here, you know, and then I have eternity waiting for me. I just thank God so much for it.
Karen.
All right. I just wanted to get up here and give a little bit of a praise report. And I was actually going to kind of keep it to myself until it was all the way healed. But I know a lot of you guys have been praying. So my bleed is remarkably better around the baby.
Amen.
To put it in perspective, it was, you know, so much smaller that the ultrasound tech didn't think it was there. She had to leave the room, look at my previous scans, and it's in just a matter of 1 week when, you know, it's been staying like the same size for 4 or 5 weeks. It went from 7 by 4 centimeters to 2 by 1 centimeters.
Amen.
So quite a big difference. But, you know, I just wanted to, you know, give God praise, but also kind of funny how Elise was talking is, you know, I got baptized in 2019. I didn't realize it. Was that recently? Because I was like, I don't remember. You know, I'm getting baptized again, but I was just thinking about how, you know, amazing this message is that it is so personal.
Amen.
And that, you know, because part of me was like, oh, well, if I got it done in 2019, you know, people are going to judge me that I'm getting it done again. But then, you know, God sees around corners, and Pastor already said, no one's going to judge you. We're
That's
all
right.
a family. And I was just thinking about how beautiful it is that, you know, Elise can start serving God at 12. And I knew when I was young, but it didn't get serious to me until I was older. But I always knew that this is the place that I wanted to be, but I just didn't have that understanding kind of how Elise was talking. But I'm just so incredibly grateful for this message, for everything that comes with it.
Amen.
God bless us, Kara.
Right.
Come on up, Brother Steve.
Amen.
Take it.
That's all right. There you go.
I know this it's going to sound kind of weird.
No.
I thought of this.
Sit down. Let's do
that. Yeah. Amen.
I was reading about this frog that's in Central America, and I thought of the scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay. This frog is different than the frogs we have here in the States. Frogs here in the States are like leopard frogs and bullfrogs and that kind of thing. They're drab. They're, you know, they try to hide. That's part of their survival technique. But in Central America and South America, they have these, they call them poison frogs. Okay. And they're like bright red and they're bright yellow and bright blue. And you would think they live in the rainforest, and which is supposed to be a very diverse biological environment, you would think the monkeys would pick them off the trees like they were Skittles. But they're poisonous. But this is the thing, this is why I thought of this scripture when I was reading about this frog, is that when they catch these frogs and they put them in zoos, they change their diet. They give them something that they don't normally eat. And this natural armor that they have fades away. And I thought, we have people that are in captivity spiritually that would want to fulfill this scripture and can't because they're in spiritual captivity. And I thought, you know, this this frog, when he gets up in the morning, he doesn't go, I'm going to hold my breath until I'm blue. He doesn't do that. He doesn't jump around in the tree to work up a sweat so that this poison that he normally, which is his natural armor, comes out. He doesn't do that. He doesn't even have, a frog doesn't have the mental capacity to think that through. He doesn't like, well, I've ate so many ants today, I need to eat termites or whatever. He doesn't do, he just eats what his God-given desire is to
his
eat.
Nature. Right. Yeah. Very nature.
And by doing that, it just oozes right out of him. It just happens. And I was thinking about spiritually, you know, I could go into a prayer closet and pray until I'm blue in the face, and that wouldn't put God's spiritual armor on me.
No, not at all.
I could run from pillar to post.
Right.
do a lot of good works, and it wouldn't be a bad thing, but that wouldn't put the spiritual armor of God on me.
That's right.
Once I find the source, I could rationalize it, like Nicodemus did.
Mm-hmm.
He took it carnal, the spiritual. Right. Or I could do like they did when Jesus said, "You eat my flesh and drink my blood."
Right.
But they thought of it carnally. They rationalized it with their carnal mind. You don't even want to do that.
No.
No, sir.
If you find the source and you have a spiritual palate and you can eat it, it just oozes right out.
Right.
Of you.
Right. Yes, it does. Amen.
Just Amen.
Just my nature.
Nature types.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Just very nature. Who you are.
Appreciate that.
Amen.
We got I was trying to say announcements.
It's all right.
I was going to try to say announcements, but I'm just excited to see the people get baptized.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I was trying to text the brothers earlier, and I said, I'm just going to be a crying mess.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those are my sisters.
Right.
My brothers. And I take that seriously. I mean, I mean it when I say you're my brother. I mean it when I say you're my sister.
Right.
And you know you're my friend. I mean it. And so to see that happen is beautiful. I just think it. I thought, you know, we always say that phrase, one in a million. But you're one of one. You don't even, I mean, you've never been in a group of a million people to even know how big that is.
Right.
You think about if me and Pastor Moore went to the Million Man March, that means it would be two believers.
Right.
Wow.
Out of all those people.
Right.
Do you know how rare it is to be able to come to a church and there's somebody else there that believes it?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's why Brother Branham said, I can count it on my hand.
Right.
It's so rare to have believers. So when you say, oh, I got a spouse that believes, my God, do you know how rare that is? When you're here in this church and you got a brother that can get up, that's a believer.
That's
you got somebody that prays, that's a believer.
Right.
And when somebody says, I have a revelation of what's going on, I want to get baptized, that's another believer.
Right.
You don't even realize how rare it is. This church is packed with believers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You get so much carnal and you're thinking, you go, oh, I want 100 people here, 300 people. That's not how it's going to work.
No.
It's packed with believers.
Amen.
We barely have enough room for believers, you know?
Right.
And I think sometimes you just take it for granted.
Right.
That you're surrounded
too much
by believers.
Yes.
Amen.
It'd be nothing. I was dealing with anxiety and I was thinking, and I realized what it was. My chest was hurting and all this kind of stuff, work stuff, whatever. And I was like, if I just get to the house.
Yeah. If I could just get there.
If I could just get in there, it'll go away.
It'll
just take care of itself. And I just thought, if I just got in here and work was this and all that junk, whatever it is, and I get in here and I just sit down, I'm like, the more that I surrender.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
The lighter my load. I can come here and just give it to God and just say, here you go. I just feel so much better now. I do, and I just thought, my God, we're so blessed.
Yes.
To be in this church.
So rich.
To talk about the food that we get, Brother Steve.
Oh, my.
And that, you know, that's such a perfect analogy.
Yes.
You think about, you know, people that have been here and walk away, they don't have that armor anymore.
Right.
And that's why they get full of dumb ideas and spirits. It's just spirits.
Right.
They got back in here and got that right diet, they'd be all right.
Yeah.
They'd be okay. But this is just spirit. So that's why I'm eating good, so it don't bother me.
Yeah.
When I see a spirit on him, I know it's just a spirit.
Right.
I'd probably get that same spirit if you put me in captivity.
Yeah,
sure.
But I'm free. I'm free.
Amen.
I eat good. I got a revelation.
Yes.
And I can say it with no condemnation. I can say it without any trying. I'm not even putting anything on. I'm not even bragging about it. I go to the best church.
Amen.
I have the best leadership.
Amen.
I got people that love me.
Nobody's got that.
Nobody's got it like I do.
Nobody.
And I come hell or high water, it don't matter.
Right.
We got it. I got it good. I just really got it good.
Amen.
Amen. So announcements now. I could keep crying, but so remember to text us the release, what you're going to bring, so we can have that for November the 20th. This year's already, my goodness, is wrapping up.
Yes.
My. That's two weeks. Whoa.
Right.
Okay, and this weekend, remember, we got to turn your clocks back.
Yeah.
Brother Bob used to call us and tell us that, so we're giving an announcement here to remind you to turn your clock back. And then also check, make sure we're available for the December the 11th. The kids, I know they're planning and practicing hard to get that together, and I just love to see that too.
Amen.
I don't know, I'm just a mess, because I just remember, I remember being that age. We were old, and me and Jeremiah were teenagers or in high school, and we got to sing with a bunch of kids, and you're doing plays, and all your other buddies out there are running around, and you're serving God the best you know how. We served as best we know how.
Yes.
And that paved the way. I'm still serving God the best I know how. Amen. He's still leading God me, like you said, Brother Don. I'm excited. But
yes.
Remember New Year's service as well. We're going to have dinner at 8 o'clock. Right, 8 o'clock dinner.
Service is at
8. Dinner is at 6. Thank you. Let's sing Nothing But the Love. Oh, go ahead, Brother Duane. Get up there, Mike.
The kids' practice is this Sunday at 5:30.
Amen.
So for the Christmas play, it'll be this Sunday at 5:30.
Amen. Let's sing page 141, key of G. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Key of G, and that's in the I Only Believe book. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What can make me whole again?
What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? I'm singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus for my cleansing. This I see,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
For my pardon, this is my plea.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I'm singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know.
Nothing but the blood of
this
Jesus.
Is all my hope and peace. This is all my hope and peace.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This
is all my righteousness.
Nothing but the blood.
Now by this I'll overcome.
Jesus.
Now by this I'll overcome.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And now by this I'll reach my home.
It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I'm singing, oh, precious is the glow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood. Glory, glory, this I see.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All my praise for this I bring.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I'm singing, oh, precious is
nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, no other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Dear God, thank you for your many blessings. We love you and appreciate you tonight because you first loved us, paid the price, Lord, so that we could become you. You became us, so we become you. And nothing but that blood could have done it. God's blood, not even human blood. We thank you for that. And Lord, we're here tonight again, Lord, hearing the testimonies and the songs and testifying. Lord, thank you for the words and of encouragement. And Lord, as we approach the preaching part of the service, have your way. Lord, we might study and put words on paper, but Lord, you're the one that knows how to make them come to life. Make them real to us, Lord. Give us what we need. Give us more information on that one revelation. And Lord, we're going to baptize later, Lord. Have your way there, Lord. And give us spirit of freedom to walk up here and hear let the devil, Lord, so that he has nothing to say to us. And Lord, thank you for your bride around the world, for letting us know we're one in a million. And Lord, we bring them before you, Lord. You said that if you take care of the sparrows, you take care of little lilies, how much more one of these? And Lord, you've given us everything we need, and we thank you for it. Touch Brother Trevor and heal his body. Be with the brothers and sisters in Florida, Lord, and give them their needs and give them peace. Let us help them the way that you want us to help them. And Lord, help me and let me be what you want to be and lead my life and change me the way you want to change me and make me the way you want to make me. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be here this evening. And good to see everybody. And no place I'd rather be. And God's been good to us. He's given us so many blessings. Enjoyed the services lately and the services on Sunday and the Bible study. It's hard for me not to get too excited. Amen. Let us be honest with you. It's hard for me not to want to cry. And it's not a put on. And it's something happened on the inside. Amen. It's worked its way to the outside. Amen. And that's what we want. And looking forward to the baptism as well. Because this is a personal walk, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We each and every one need that and have got to have that. And I'm thankful that water's back there. I just added that story a little bit. I at least was helping me yesterday and filled it up, and we had it filled and feeling good. I'm texting, oh, we got the water filled. And we went for a walk last night, and she was talking about this odor, and it got me nervous because I was like, well, nothing can be wrong. We got to go fix this now. And I was going to drive over here, but I thought, you know, James lives down the street, and he's done this before. I said, James, go check on it. He gets over here. He says, I thought you said you filled this up. The water's leaking, and so we thought the first action we would do is we must not put the plug in right. And so James works on the plug a little bit, refills the water for me. And we said, we're going to check in the morning. And so just to add to the story, and because it's not to tell you the negative side, this is all positive. I'm at work, and this of all the days, this is the quarterly meeting that we have the board. So I'm talking with two levels up. I'm nervous as can get out. And I get the text, the water is leaked again. And I feel locked. I'm like, I don't even know how to leave work right now to go take care of this. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then obviously we called my wife and we got it figured out. We bought a new cap for it, put it in, filled it up, started praying hard. And the water's there. But the point being is, you know, God never fails to amaze me because he, out of the blue, he talks about baptism Sunday night and it was meant to be. And here's people wanting to get baptized. God knew that before we even knew that. And the devil didn't like it, doing everything he can to try to stop it. So I know God's behind it now. And I knew he was and believed he was, but I've seen too much evidence to you to change my mind on that. And I'll just tease you a little bit. I apologize ahead of time. That water hasn't had much time to get accustomed or even room temperature. So it's going to be cold. But that's good. You know, we'll make us appreciate God. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about what I got. And it's weird to say that because I don't even know how to preach without the help of God. But I'm excited about what I studied. And because it got me excited last night. Because it reminded me of a lot of things. I guess it can remind your own personal relationship with God and things like that. But before I get into all that, let's just read. Turn with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to just start with verse 8, even though I'm going to read down further. And I think when I read it, you guys will get excited too. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So your fleshly deeds in themselves are not what pleases God. And we know it's impossible to please God without faith. But listen on to what he says here. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now here's my scripture. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that's afar off. No, that's not what it says. By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh, that got me a little bit excited. Now, Brother Branham preached and used this scripture many times, but in two messages that came to my mind this week, he preached one titled it as the rising of the sun, and another one the Easter Seal, and he used it to talk about the quickening power, and I'm going to tie that in a little bit tonight, but my title is a little bit different. My title is A Real Change. And I was almost going to call it a permanent change, but I'm using the word real for a reason, because I was thinking a little bit this week, Brother Deskins. A real change can really only come by God. Now you say, what do you mean, Brother Jeremiah? Well, let's go to the humans for a minute. We have studied ourselves through psychology and through science, and we have done very good with that. We have actually done pretty amazing with our studies and understanding human behavior. We've done it to the point that we can send people to psychiatrists or a doctor, and we can help them out. And even with your own self-will and your own desire, you can start creating habits and start doing things differently. But I thought about that a little bit. But anything a man can stop, he can start again. A man can change his mind. But God can't change his mind.
Now, I'm not taking anything away from those changes that happen in people's lives. Those are real things that, in one sense, that happen that helps people in life. But every one of those human-made changes can revert back to the way they were before. But when God does something, He does it right. He does it in such a way that you can't even get back to what you were before. Oh, that gets me excited.
Amen.
That's a real change, and that's exactly right, Brother Lockett. He changed in such a way he annihilated that first nature and put it in the sea of his forgetfulness to where he can never remember it again.
Amen.
And gave his own life to you.
Yes.
That was really always there with you the day you were born, just in seed form. But he quickened that thing, and now the Spirit of God is manifesting in your life and dwells in you, and that's a real change. Now that's the change I want to start with, is the new birth. We've been talking about that a little bit, but Brother Moore's talking about greater is he that's in you. And then Sunday night, and I'm going to have fun with him here a little bit. He did questions and answers for about the 75%, and then somebody asked a question. I don't remember what the question was, but he couldn't help but give a mini sermon for about 20 minutes. But I enjoyed it.
Amen.
And it tied to me with what he preached in the morning. Because he was talking about getting baptized and the real change and being foreknown and predestinated of God.
Right.
And how they, when God does that, your sins are covered.
Right.
A real change happens.
Yeah.
But and you must be born again.
Yes.
But what's so great about it, and I got to break this down a little bit. Brother Branham taught us, and the Bible teaches you, there's many people that go to church and they will get anointed on their spirit realm.
Yes.
So much so, they will have an experience in an emotional way, and they will go to church.
Right.
They'll dance in the spirit.
That's right.
They'll do many works that we would say are the works of God.
Right.
All because they went to church, heard from God, He anointed them on their spirit realm, and it gave them a temporary gift.
Amen.
We've seen people come to church here for a number of years. And that's why even Brother Bram said in other places, you got to go all the way with the Word.
Right.
You don't just go some of the way, because you can even do that.
Yes.
You can come to church, and you can agree with most of the Word.
Right.
But then one time the Word crossed you and says, I don't believe that, well, then you're not a believer.
Right.
And that's your problem.
Right.
But the thing that Brother Bram was trying to drive home, getting anointed on the spirit realm is not a permanent, real change. That's just a temporal gift for you. It's the same rain that falls on the just and the unjust, but it's just temporal because it just happened to you on your spirit rim with an anointed spirit. But a real believer that has the Word of God quickened to them, they get a real change. It goes deeper than the spirit rim. It goes all the way down to the soul rim and annihilates the first soul and borns in you the new soul, which is God's own life. That's not a temporary change. Oh, there's something that really happened. It's a change that you can't take back.
Right.
You can't get it and lose it.
Right.
If you ever get God and you ever get born again, you got what you need for the journey.
Amen.
Oh, I don't got to go find something else. I don't got to go back to God and have Him do it over. I don't got to go back and get cleaned up again. There might be many things I do on the outside two rims, but on that inside of the inside, I've had a real change. You can't take it away from me. The devil can't even get there. He can't even touch it. He can't even do anything to it. It's God's own life. And where light is, darkness has to flee. Oh, I'm going to talk about some good living here in a little bit, but I don't care what you see me do. You can't touch that inside of the inside. You know, I can deal with humans every day of my life. And they talk to me and they can touch me. They can deal with my flesh. They can say certain things to me that upsets my spirit. They can access those two things. Just like the devil. But you know the thing they can never touch? Not one time. They don't change it. They don't move it. They don't make it different. They don't make it an unbeliever. They don't make it have to be changed again. I don't care how many times I deal with humans and how much I get upset in my spirit and how many people I hug or shake hands with. They don't know how to touch the soul, and they can't. Only God can do that, and He gave me that change. And it, once He changes something, it's changed. That's a real change. That's what that spirit does. It'll quicken you. It'll change you from a nature. See, here's the thing. A pig, I don't care how much you clean it up. You can clean the outside up. You can give that pig a bath. You can even feed it a different type of food. It might then come in your home. I've seen people have pigs as pets and live in your house and walk around for a good long time and remain a clean pig. But open that door one day, let it get a little taste of the outside, and something in its nature, no matter how much you cleaned it up, no matter how much you kept it nice, no matter how much you locked it in, once it gets that little bit of freedom, you know what it will do? It'll go right back to that mud pit that it was coming from, because it's in its nature to do so. But oh my, let me talk to you about the opposite situation. Let you get a change of your nature on the inside. And let me get a little freedom. I'll still come to church. I'll still serve God. I'll still do what He wants me to do. Why is that? Because I've had a real change. Not just cleaned up on the outside. I've been cleaned up on the inside. Got a brand new nature. And you can give me all the freedom in the world. And you know where I'm at Wednesday night? I ain't boasting. I'm just trying to explain to you how God works. A real change. I'm at church. I'm not home watching TV. And I even know, Brother Deskins, I could be home and watching TV. If I'm a real believer, I ain't going to hell.
Right.
I can go back to the next service.
Amen.
But I have a real change.
Yes, sir.
I want to be where God is.
That's right.
I want to hear what His word is. And I'm not preaching stay at home. I'm just trying to explain to you. You can give a real believer freedom. I want to be here. This is my mud pit. This is where I'm home at. This is what fits with me. There's something in my nature that loves this. You might tempt me with all kinds of things. It might even look like I'm being pulled away. You can make a pig look like a clean pig. If I let the devil walk me a little bit, he can make you look like I'm walking away. But I'm telling you, I'm a real believer. When I've even got close, something on the inside, Brother Moore, something in my nature, something about my soul, said, where else could I go but to the Lord? That's a real change. Not just clean up on the outside, clean up on the inside. But when that change happens, it does change you. Changes your desires. Changes your motives. Changes your goals. Changes what you put first. Oh, it's a real relationship begins. Oh, this is not a bad relationship. You heard my wife up here. People pick on her and think she was just done wrong because she married me so young. But listen to her. That ain't a forced testimony. I don't force my wife to say anything. I don't even force my wife to serve God. I don't make her do anything. Not in that way. I request things. But, you know, even then, at the end of the day, I ain't going to fight with her. She's going to choose to do it herself or not. That's how it's going to work. Because you know what? That's what God does to me. Jeremiah, I'd like you to do this. Jeremiah, I'd like you to do that. He don't force me. He will tell me. He'll rebuke me. He'll tell me what I should do. But He don't make me do nothing. Well, that's how I work with my wife. So when she's getting up here, she's telling you the truth. It ain't bad to get a relationship with God. It's not bad to get a new birth. I know that we think of it sometimes as young people because we go out there and we don't fit in. But you know why you don't fit in? Because you're not up from this world. You're from heaven. You can't fit in. No matter how much you try to fit in. Because we got to know it. We've tried to fit in and it ain't never fully worked for us. I ain't trying to preach one thing's more of an evidence than another, but you know you say the word. And you just, coming out of your mouth, you're like, what? It didn't feel right. That don't sound right saying that word. That ain't, you know, and it ain't that I'm trying to preach good living or that's the evidence. I'm just trying to say, we try to fit in or we try to do what the world does. And it just ain't me. This is really what I'm about. You know, I was talking to my wife because we were talking about how good of a time we had in South Carolina. And even my kids, they had a good time in that church service. They loved the singing. They loved everything. I thought that's really, you know why it is? Because that's really what our real nature loves. If we could stay there all the time, we wouldn't be worried about school, fitting in, what we dress like. We wouldn't care about it. We'd be in the environment that really our nature fits. Our battle is because we got to go out there. But our real makeup loves God, loves His Word. We can actually be in a service and clap hands and actually enjoy it. Not worried about what my friend at school thinks. And raise my hands. Because you know that first time. That first time's hard. Who's looking at me? What are they going to think about me? That first time in the prayer line. That first time getting baptized. I've been baptized 3 times, so there ain't no shame in this. But that first time raising that hand. Especially, you're like, what's people going to think? But you know what happens, because you had a real change. There's this one day, you're sitting in service, and before you know it, you're just up. Praising God. And then before you realize it, it's like, this is easier than I thought it was. Why? Because there's something about you different. You've experienced a real change. That's what that spirit that dwells in you does. When it changes you right. It's not a heart halfway, it's all the way. So let me read a quote. It's right, Brother Lockett. It really does become all about Him. It's down at the bottom here, so give me a minute to scroll down. This is from, it is the rising of the sun. Now listen to, there's some key statements in here I saw today when I read this. And he's talking about the people in the upper room, because I could read the whole thing, but he's talking about the people in the upper room. Notice, they were coward. Notice, but they had the mechanics. Think about that. Had mechanics, but they were coward. See, but they were all sitting back there saying, oh, I'm afraid of them. I'm afraid to go out and make a claim. Because all of them got great big bishops things out there. Oh, I'm afraid to them. Priest things, I'm afraid to make that claim. Afraid I'll say I believe on Him. I just can't do it. But all of a sudden, the dynamics came. That's that spirit. The quickening power. And what did it do? It not only filled their spirit inside, but it quickened their mechanics. Their bodies were quickened. They were no more cowards. They went right out in the face of the people. Said, you men of Judea, you that dwell in Jerusalem, where before the dynamics came, they were just mechanics. But He said, you men of Jerusalem, let it be known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunk as you suppose. I'm one of them. This is that. I'll show you what it is. It's in the scripture. This is that. And I've always said, if this ain't that, let me keep this till that comes. Now this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it'll come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour my spirit up on flesh. See, the dynamics come into the mechanics. That's that spirit. Mechanics are the word. But you need God's quickening power to quicken it to make it real to you, to make a real change. That's what He's trying to say here.
they weren't afraid no more. Some of you people are afraid that some women will laugh at you for having long hair or quit wearing makeup. Some of you men that are afraid of your organization will throw you out when you baptize your congregation in scriptural baptism. Right. You need to close yourself in the upper room until the dynamics come. That's right. It changed them. It quickened them. It made them different. They were a changed people from then on. It quickened them from the old life of being a coward to like the lion of the tribe of Judah. They absolutely faced martyrdom, nailed to crosses, crucified upside down, burnt, thrown in lion dens, no more cowards. Death had no victory over them all. The dynamics was in the mechanics. Amen. Yes, sir, it quickened their mortal bodies. Amen. Here's another thing for proof. It so quickened them in such a way, do you know what? They was lifted up in heavenly places, and their mortal bodies was so quickened until their language changed. It quickened their language. That's what the Bible said. And their mortal bodies were quickened. Their language was quickened. Their thoughts were quickened. Their spirits were quickened. Their life was quickened. They were quickened altogether. Amen. They tried to talk and couldn't talk any more in human languages. Amen. They were so quickened up in the presence of God that they spoke in a new tongue of heavenly language. Amen. Whoa, what a quickening power. Amen. That's that spirit. Amen. Now, the evidence of the Holy Ghost isn't because you're wearing dresses and all that. All he's trying to illustrate there to you is it can change your life. Amen. It will change your very nature. Amen. It will change your very desires. Right. It, what you used to do, you won't do anymore. Amen. And it's an individual walk with you and God, but this real change changes your soul on the inside.
Amen. Yeah.
And from that point on, you'll serve God and have a personal relationship with Him.
Amen.
Because it was a real change.
Amen.
Because, and I'll give you the contrary, there's people that go to church and do all the same things and live good and didn't get a real change because they didn't get change on the inside.
Right.
You got to get that real change.
Yeah.
That's what I'm really trying to preach to you. And from the inside out, the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah.
And you will naturally want to serve God because that's your very nature.
Yeah.
You can't help but want to.
Yeah, that's right.
No more I that live, but Christ that lives within me.
Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking, because I was got a new birth somewhat young, I guess.
Right.
And I remember having that new birth and going to school and worried about fitting in. I had the same temptations and everything, failed some, all of the above.
Oh, yeah.
But I was thinking about it this week, but I wouldn't trade my walk
Amen.
For anything in the world, Brother Moore.
Amen.
This has been a wonderful walk.
Amen.
You know, you look back, you say, well, that was hard. It really wasn't that hard. But it's also easy to have hindsight up here.
Right.
Oh, do this, do that. When you're in the middle of it,
yeah.
It's a real battle.
Yeah.
But what's so great about it is when you get that new birth, no matter the mistakes you're going to make or all the things you go through or the habits you got,
right.
That change was a real change.
Yes. Right.
And there will always be something inside of you that is drawn to the Word of God.
Amen.
When you get around it, there's something about you that will respond to it.
Amen. That's right.
It will really change you.
Yeah.
I remember, and I sometimes laugh because you know I can laugh at it now because I'm way up here down the road. But it was serious and sincere. Brother Moore talked about writing songs or writing poems. I'd go try to do it because I had a sincere heart.
Yeah.
And you know what, James? It was like raising your hand the first time.
Yeah.
What's everybody gonna think?
Yeah.
But the thing I'm trying to really say, there was a real change on the inside that was trying to work on the outside. And I was thinking this week too a little bit because I was born again about 14 years old, but I didn't really have my first battle till I was 16. Because even at 14, brother, that's not this thing about this week. I was serving God, I was writing poems, I was doing these things. It was easy. Mom, Dad's bringing me to church.
Right.
At school, fitting in because I was playing sports. There was no battle. He was just serving God, enjoying life.
Right.
Then I had my first real trial. It was a doozy to me.
Oh, yeah.
I can look back now and say, that would be so easy, but it was a doozy.
Amen.
But one of my favorite quotes of Brother Branham, I even have it up here, I'll read it to you, because I carried it with me for many years. Because you know when sometimes when you're going through a trial, you know what your flesh does, why me?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Why do I have to go through this? It's building something in you. It's character.
God knows he can trust you. This is what Brother Bram said in Victory Day. When it looks like everything has gone wrong, God has given you a trial. He's got confidence in you. He don't have to baby you around. You're not a hotbed plant, a hybrid. You're a real Christian. God has given you a test to see what you will do about it. Amen. No wonder Peter said these fiery trials, count it joy. They're more precious than gold. And many times we hem and haw, oh well. Well, that's something God's give you to overcome. He knows you'll do it. He's put his trust in you. But I like it. How he said, that's a real Christian. Because what I'm trying to say is when you get that nature change, you will go through trials. You will go through things. And if you ain't settled, if you ain't got a real foundation, if you ain't had a real change, you know what can happen, Brother Moore? It can flop you out of here and knock you out just like that. But eagles go through a molting season. But they're still eagles. There's something about them that makes them an eagle. It doesn't change them. No matter how hard that trial is, no matter how maybe sometimes you're bad inside that trial. Maybe you're the one that said 100 times, Lord, why me? But something on the inside of you, because you respond to the word of God and God's feeding you his word and helping you out, you get through it. Amen. Why is that? Because you're a real Christian who had a real change.
That's right.
Amen. You know, some people leave this church because their parents leave the church. Some people leave this church because their wife leaves the church. Some people leave the church because everything's going wrong in their life. Some people leave a church because they have a job opportunity in some great place. And I'm not trying to put an evidence on that all together, but I'm just saying when you get a real change, that changes your motives. You get through those things, Brother Moore, and you seek God first, and you might stumble and fall and along the way, but there's something that keeps you here.
Amen.
Why? Because you've had a real change. I know this might, I'm not trying to put law or anything on. I'm just trying to tell you a story. This is a real relationship with God. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a real one-on-one relationship with God. And that's why I like that quote about a trial. Because that's God testing you. You know, you ain't proving nothing really too much till you go through something. Now, it only takes a new birth to get there. But why these elders are got such a good report, they've proven something. They've been through something. They've kept the faith because they had a real change. But you can say you've been changed all you want and let the first little trial come your way. We'll see real quick whether you did or didn't. It'll show. But what happens to a real believer, because we've all experienced it, is trial is hard, it's tough. You want to scream sometimes, you want to yell. You can get to the lowest of lows, but there's something about you because you've had a real change from God that gets you through that. It's like when we talk about the seed that you plant under the concrete. If it gets the first little lick of sun, no matter how much concrete's on top of that, that little thing will work its way up through that one crack and work its way all the way back up to that sun. That's how real believers are. We go through things. We have flesh problems. We'll have trials. It's not that we're going to be perfect in everything, but there's something on the inside that had a real change about it that will get you through everything. He who endures to the end, the same will be saved. And like Brother Moore said, if I was been foreknown, it means I'm going to make it because he saw me do it. So Brother Moore used to say, I'm going to outlast you. For a little while, probably scared us all. When you get a real revelation, I'm going to outlast you. I've had a real change. I don't know about you. You work your own salvation out with fear and trembling. But as far as I'm concerned, I've had a real change. I'm going to outlast you. I'm going to still be here. That's why my good living ain't going to get me any more ready. It ain't going to make me any more ready. And my good living, because I've been around it, it ain't going to make me, you know, people say, I'm so clean. The real cleaning happened because God gave you the real change. He did it. But on the flip side of that coin, I'm like, Lord, what do you want? Because this is what we as believers are really about. You can have this, you can have that, if that's what it takes. Because I'm here to do my Father's business.
Amen.
That's the real call of the believer. I'm not here trying to get you to drop this or drop this tonight. All I'm saying, if you've had that real change, there's something in you that wants to respond and will respond to the Word of God. You have a desire, and you may not always be able to live up to it, but there's something in you that says amen to that word every time, Brother Moore. And you make it all the way. Why? You had a real change. It wasn't just some emotional thing, and you jumped up and down for a while. There was a real change in your life. And the only thing that can bring that is God Himself. Man can go to church and has for many years and go a long time and have a temporal anointing on their spirit realm. People in the human world can go to a psychologist and change their behaviors the rest of their life. But those still really aren't permanent changes. Those are temporal. But the change you and I got, where the Spirit of God dwells in us, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, it'll overcome anything and everything that's in its way because it's ordained to make it all the way.
That's right.
Had a real change.
Amen.
One that will last.
Yes, sir.
No matter how low I get, it's everlasting.
Amen. Everlasting.
No matter how many mistakes I make,
right,
you can't take it back.
No.
No matter how many mistakes I've made, you can't bring back that old life. Oh, I got the quote up here, but we've read it so many times. I'll paraphrase it from the Invisible Union. Brother Branham said that old husband's got to die.
Yeah.
Every speck of him's got to die.
Right.
He said a new nature's got to be born inside of you.
Amen.
And he said what God does when that happens, He transfers your name to the Lamb's Book of Life, which He really did from the beginning of the world, but this is the manifestation of it happening.
Yeah.
And he said that old nature is annihilated and every speck of him's got to die and is put in God's sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
Somebody said it Sunday night, that takes care of your past, your present, and your future. That old nature is completely done away with in God's memory. He doesn't even see it. The only thing He sees is that new nature. That representation. He sees through the blood. He sees He covered it. He sees you spotless. He sees you perfect. He sees you sinless. He can't see you any other way. And Brother Branham says, oh, you're justified. And he said, do you know what that word means? He said, that doesn't mean you're forgiven.
No.
Forgiven says you see me do something, I'm going to forgive you. But if I'm justified, forgive me for what?
Yeah.
I never did it in the first place.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, when you get this real new birth,
yeah,
a real change,
yeah,
not just a temporal gift, but a new birth, your past, present, and future is taken care of. God only sees that new nature inside of you, the real you, the one that comes from God and going back to God. That's how permanent this change is.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
That's how good He is. That's how gracious He is.
Amen.
It's His own life.
That's right.
I like how Paul said it. And that's the last thing I want to get to before I close. That same Spirit will dwell in you. It'll quicken your mortal bodies. It'll change you in this natural life. It's going to make you do things you weren't doing before. But you realize, and I'm going to go read it, because it's got the word in it. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Romans. So hold on. You guys will let me read the wrong scripture like you did, Brother Moore. Read this not too long ago. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 51. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Oh, there's another change coming. And that same Spirit that quickened and took care of the first thing is the same Spirit that's on the inside of me that'll take care of the rest. He changed my soul first, because that's your real start. Brother Ram said that in Things Are to Be, because back in the late part of 1965, he preached Anointed Ones at the end time, and from there on, he drove home some of that. You can get anointed in that spirit realm, that rain can fall on the just and the unjust. But he'd go further, he said, but you got to get down to that soul. He said it in so many different ways, and And he was saying in the things that are to be, he said, I don't care how many churches you go to or how anointed you are or how many Hail Marys, he said, your real start is in your soul.
Amen.
You must be born again. That nature, that real change has to happen. Anything else on these outside rims are temporal. So even if you keep them holy, this has got to be glorified. This spirit rim's got to be replaced. But once that soul's changed, it's never going to change back to anything else. It's going to always be. So there's your real start. And then from there, God will start changing your life. He'll change your body. But what's so great about him, why he's changing it, it's not a jail sentence. Yeah, there's going to be bitter, and there's going to be trials, and there's going to be tests. But God will give you everything you need. He supplies all your needs. He will help you along the way. He'll never put more on you than you can bear. He'll give you answers to all your questions. He'll give you guidance in life. He really does order your footsteps. He will take care of you. Yield to him. Open your hands to him. The more that I surrender,
yes.
As the song says,
Amen.
The more he takes control.
Amen.
The more that I release my cares, I got it back, the more he'll take control. The more I humble myself, let God have it.
Yeah.
And it kind of naturally just happens.
Yes,
it's not that you got to force it. There's something that real change happened on the inside of you. You'll just have a desire. Say, Lord, what do you want from me? Everybody's got examples. I never thought I'd preach, let alone I didn't think I'd be up here playing instruments doing what I'm doing. But you know what, God? God's changed my life. He's gotten things out of me, going from 14-year-old to writing a poem to singing a song to I'm up here preaching tonight. That's what God can do in your life. It don't even have to take 30 years. It can take one. It can take a month. Yeah, there'll be progression, but God can change your life. It's not in the years. It's in the yielding. Now, don't get me wrong. The real change is that soul. That's what takes care of it all. Then what he'll do is he'll start working his way out.
Yes.
Changing your life, changing the things he wants you to do.
Amen.
But let me tell you, that's not the end of it. There's going to be another real change, brother. Oh, this corruptible man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body? I won't be happy until I awaken his likeness.
Amen.
Oh, that same spirit that quickened that new soul in my life,
yes,
that now dwells inside of me, that life of God,
Amen,
is going to quicken these mortal bodies. It's been changing my body ever since really I've been born again. One day I'm going to get a glorified body. I'm going to be changed in a moment. And that'll be such a real change, you can't take me back. Brother Branham always said, man can't destroy nothing or annihilate anything, only God can. Man can't create nothing. We've said this before. He can modify this world. He can clean this world up. He can make hybrids of things. He can do so many things with the elements. You realize God's never added anything new to this world? Ever since he said, lo, it's very good.
Yeah.
The same amount of everything's here.
Yeah.
It can change its form, but it ain't. It's still here.
Yeah.
There's nothing new that's been unless God's created it. And man can play with this thing and try to mess it up and paint things and make things look pretty. But you know the only thing that can really change this world is God. The same fire that changes your body and changes your soul. That's the same fire. It's going to change this world.
Amen.
It's the only thing he can do it.
Yeah.
But when God does something,
yeah,
he does it right, Brother Moore.
Right.
He does it where it's permanent.
Amen.
You don't have to go back.
Right.
When God gives a revelation, you don't have to go back on it.
No.
When God gives a word, you don't have to go back on it.
Amen.
Man might say something that changes mind.
Right.
I'm a man. I can change my mind, and I have plenty of times. But when God does it, God's not like man. He's got it right every single time.
Amen.
And that's the greatest he that's in you. That's what's inside of you.
Amen.
That's changed you. That's leading God. It's really who you really are.
Amen.
That's eventually going to change these bodies.
Amen.
And when that happens, don't worry. It's going to be such a good change, you'll never grow old.
Amen.
Think about that. It's going to be such a change. You will never grow old. The only person, the only thing that can do that is God himself.
Amen.
So I thank God for this real change.
Yes.
I thank God for that spirit.
Yes.
I thank God that that's the life that's inside of me.
Yes.
I thank God for his leadership.
Amen.
It's by his grace that any of us are where we are tonight.
Amen.
By his leadership, by his preaching the word to us and quickening that word to us.
Amen.
That's why we are where we are. He's given us everything we needed. I wouldn't trade my journey for anybody's. You can give me Jesus, as the song says. You can have this, you can have that, but give me Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's going to last. What you do for others, that's what eternal life's about. What you do for Christ, the only thing that's going to last.
Amen.
Yeah, we're taught we're going to enjoy this life. We're coming this way one time. We all understand that. But really, at the end of the day, there's really a real job here.
That's right. Amen.
It all connects back to God. I'm going to enjoy this while I got it. I'm going to be changed another time eventually. And I will never grow old. I'm going to be able to do things I can't do right now. Oh, what a day that'll be. So I hope this helps a little bit. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Moore.
The song says, a wonderful change has come over me. That's what happens at your new birth. And you will change. I mean, you automatically will change. It's a new person living in there. And your desires are going to change. You know, where your desire on Wednesday night might have been to go get the happy hour somewhere or to go out and play some game or do something on Wednesday night, you find yourself in the house of God.
Yeah.
And we don't even look at those as changes. We don't look at the way that our attitude changed, because we're used to trying to find something big to change. But God doesn't change it that way. He takes little bitty twists and turns in your life. And the things that you used to like, you all of a sudden don't like them no more. And things you didn't care for, you find yourself liking. Didn't care for church, now you can't stay away. You used to want to cheat somebody. Now you don't really want to do that because it doesn't have the thrill. See, what God does, he takes away the thrill of this world. The things of this life will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You want to serve God. Your friends that you hung out with, your world, and I call them worldly friends because they are of the world. And they don't even have to be bad friends. They just don't want to be where you're at. That's, you say, well, my friends are good people. They're not with you tonight. They don't want to be here.
No.
And it's because their desire is of the world.
Right.
And your desire, your very desire has changed.
Yes.
You know how it is when a desire for something changes, you can't help it.
Right.
You know, when you were young, maybe you didn't like certain things. And then all of a sudden your taste changes. And you, where you couldn't stand something before, now you gotta have it.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with the Word of God. When you really get a change on the inside, you're gonna accept the Word of God over top of pastor, preacher, denomination, persons, over top of yourself.
Right.
Because that's gonna pull you to the Word. And this is more important than anything else you could get your hand on.
Right.
Nothing else has lasted like the Word of God in your life. Nothing else. I've been there. I know. I've had friends. They'll last you 10, 20, 30 years. I've had shoes. They'll last you maybe 5. I pulled some out of the closet all the month, and because I have a tendency to put them back and wait until I need them. Put them on, went to work, and they had sat in the closet so long, by the time I got to my desk, I looked down, and they were falling apart on me. I never even wore them. So your shoes will wear out. Your clothes will wear out. Your new car that you wash every Saturday, after a while, it gets old. And you don't wash it on a Saturday. The next thing you know, you're not washing it for a few Saturdays. And after a while, when you go to that drive-thru window of McDonald's, you know where that McDonald's bag go? In the back seat. Your love for this world and the things of the world grows old. But if you ever get a change of the soul, and you ever get that taste of Jesus Christ one time in your life, you will never be the same. That's why Jesus told the woman at the well, it says, if you give me the drink of this natural water, I'll give you the drink of this water, and you'll never thirst again. Until you find Christ, you're always searching, always looking. There's always something else just over the next hill, just over the next friend, just over the next girlfriend, just over the next party. Just over the next work, next job. Oh, I love this job. You get that job, you work it for a year, and I hate my boss. Then the next job's better. Your kids, you love them as babies, but then you get tired of taking care of them. Then they grow up into teenage monsters. Then you can't wait to get them out of the house. That's this world. But the sweetness of the Word of God never gets old. I love Him better every day, as the song says. Oh, my. Just to hear His Word every service I come, I feel like I never heard that before. I never heard that before. I've been doing this for 40 plus years, and I'm more excited now than I was 40 years ago. And nothing else in my life has lasted that long and gotten better. So there's been a real change that happened in my life. When I first got my change, my family thought, well, it's just temporary. He's going to a new church. It's just temporary. And they were holding their breath for me to just get over this temporary. And it just kept going and kept going. And I got worse and I got worse because my desires were changing. My focus was changing. My friends were changing. My time was changing. Everything around me was changing. And what was happening, there was a world being created around me. And nobody else could understand what was going on with me, but I knew what was going on.
Amen.
And I don't care how much you try to stay the same, when He moves in, there will be a real change in you. And it won't be because you decided to give something up. Giving up things won't make the change. Whatever you can give up, you can get back again. But when He gets in there, and I like the way Jeremiah said, when God moves and He changes you, He never takes it back. Just think about it. He changes our soul. And I'll never go back to that old soul. If I lay this tabernacle down and I go to my theophany, I'm never going to take my old spirit back. I don't even want it. And then when I get my theophany and I come back from my glorified body, I ain't going to worry about this old broken down sickly thing. And then God's going to move us to a new heaven and a new earth. And he's not backing off on any of these things. All these changes of God are permanent and eternal. So this desire that you have for God is only going to get stronger. You say, well, I'm only 15, I'm only 16. Don't worry about that. Lean in on that. You know, just think about how much you could serve God as a 16-year-old. Jeremiah, when he was 16, when I was 19, we were serving God. John was 20, and when Don was, 20? 18, I don't know what we were, but we were young. But serving God. And he said, well, if I serve God, if I totally surrender to God, then I won't have nothing. If you totally surrender to God, you'll have everything.
Amen.
Don't worry about your age. When that pull starts happening, I don't care who you are, where you're at in life. You say, well, I need to learn how to get through school. Lean on him, and he'll get you through school. I need to wait until I get rid of this job because this is a bad job, and I want to lean into him. Let that real change affect you. It'll affect you so much, it'll affect the people around you. I have them all the time. All the time they're trying to back up, they cuss around me like, oh, one fella said the other day, he was talking to the deputy, he said, you done cussed in front of the preacher. And I watch them, they'll say things, they'll try to back it up and say a different word. It's just the atmosphere. I'm not sitting there with my Bible under my arm, toting around saying, you better be this and that. I don't have to say a word. Your very life pulls on people. And if God's pulling you, and he's talking to you, and you need to surrender to him, give him your all. Let a real change happen. A wonderful change has come over me. Let it happen. And don't worry about it. Lean back on him. And just let him change you. You know, as long as you're trying to keep from changing, because, oh, well, I got to keep my friends at school. I got to keep this facade up. Because that's all it is a facade. Because you know you love God. You know you want to serve God. Right. You don't even know why, but there's something pulling him. That's that change that's happened. You're already changing and don't even realize it. Those very desires. What's making you pull closer?
Right.
What's making you come to church? What's making you pull towards the believers? It's a change that's happening over in you, a real change. And you're never going to go back. You'll never be the same. If you just drag your feet and say, I can't change, I won't change, I won't do this, I won't do that. No, go ahead. You're stronger than God? Don't think so. God always gets his man. And as long as you try to fight the change, because what's changing is that the Word of God is moving into you. And when the Word moves in there, it starts changing things automatically. Things that you used to like, you don't like anymore. Places you used to go, it doesn't even turn you on anymore. And then you find yourself bored and think, well, don't need to be here. And then you'll stop doing things just because there's a change going on. Now, if there's no change, oh, you won't change, and you'll be the same old you. You'll go to the same old places. You'll be the same old thing, and you won't want to serve God at all. There's some of those people, too. But if God is dealing with you, give it to him. Give it to that change. Let him change you. You say, well, I don't know what. If I give it all to him, what's going to happen to me? We don't know. You don't know what God will do with you. I never thought I was going to ever preach in my life. Didn't dream of it. Didn't want it. Didn't even want. I wasn't coming to church. I was not going to go to church, people, ever again. When my mother gave me the option to go to church or stay home, I took option B and didn't look back. But then there started to be a hunger in there that I couldn't even explain. I couldn't have told you. I just one day I thought, I need to find God. I need God to deal with me. Where'd that come from? It wasn't because somebody was hounding me. My mama wasn't hounding me. Nobody was hounding me. But there was something, a deep calling to the deep. And if there's a deep calling to your deep, answer that call. Answer it, because you're not going to be happy any other way. He's changing you, and the best thing you could do is give to that change. As God talks to you, step out on it. There's some people that are stepping out on his word tonight for water baptism. And you say, well, they've already been baptized, some of them, or all of them. Some of them, I don't know. They're all been baptized as far as I know. I don't even know who's all getting up tonight. I heard two people say they are. So it's like, whatever. Whatever. If God's dealing with you, lean into that. You say, but I didn't bring any clothes. I ain't worried about your clothes. We'll fix you up. If I have to take this curtain and wrap it around you. Don't let nothing talk you out of this tonight. If God's pulling on you and you think you really want to be baptized, but you've made an excuse to why tonight is not the night, you need to be like the Ethiopian. Here's water. What hinders you? What's holding you to that seat? So, come on, musicians, we're going to sing something, and those of you who want to be baptized, whether you brought clothes or not, just let us know. We'll fix you up. We'll get something. I'll give you my shirt, and we'll put something on you, wrap you up, or do something. We'll figure it out. Don't stay back there because you've already been baptized, or because if God's dealing with you, you follow God. Follow God. Learn to lean on them. Let's sing that. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. Because when you learn to lean on Jesus, you'll get power from someplace that you don't even know exists. You think you might know what you want to do, and you might know that how to handle things, but what you'll find out is that leaning on him gives you more power than you ever thought you could do. When he tells you to do something, you do it. I make my plans according to what God wants, not according to me. I have all kind of ideas of what I want to do, but God knows what he wants to do. Amen. I am learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean.
That screen up so we can see Jeremiah.
Come on, Elise, Sister Elise.
I can say the young people usually come up so they can see. Y'all can come up.
Yeah, the kids can come on up if they'd like.
Come up close enough.
Bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord, and good service tonight. And Lord, as we approach the baptism part of the service, Lord, we have Sister Elise here. Lord, I'm so thankful for her, Lord, for the wife she is to me, the helpmate she is to me. Thank you for her in my life. And but Lord, she's here for herself, for her own personal walk with you. Told me this week she wanted to repent and be baptized in your name. And Lord, we thank you so much for her. We ask that you bless her and be with her and continue to lead and guide her in her walk. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Sister Elise Allen, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear God, once again, we have another sister here, Lord, that means a lot to me. She's a help in my life and this body's life, Lord, and we thank you for her. We ask that you continue to bless her, Lord, help her in her life, Lord, lead and guide her, let her continue to lean and grow and trust in you and know that you got her life in your hands, Lord. Thank you for this believer standing before me. We ask that you bless Sister Johanna. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask, amen. Amen.
Sister Johanna, I baptize you in the name.
Amen. All right, sister. Bow our heads again. Dear God, we got Sister Kara here. Another person that's been a blessing this body, Lord, as she's been a light to these kids, Lord, and taking our pictures and been there to cheer us on. And Lord, you can see her growing in her knowledge and understanding with you and her relationship, Lord. She's married now. We ask that you continue to bless Sister Kara, Lord. Bless this pregnancy. Move it all the way, Lord. We're trusting you to bring us a full, healthy baby. But more importantly, Lord, we thank you for this walk you've given Kara, this relationship. Bless her. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask it. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for Brother AJ. He showed up to church tonight, Lord. I saw him getting out of his car, excited to be here, and he was telling me there that he couldn't wait to get here. He rushed here from work. Yes. And Lord, we're so thankful for a desire like that.
Yes.
Thank you for what you've done for him, Lord. Somebody's come in here and already been a blessing this body, Lord, and bless us with his music gifts, bless us with the kids, Lord,
and helped Kara and helped us as a family.
Yes.
More importantly, Lord, we keep saying he has a walk with you. He loves you, Lord. We ask that you continue to lead and guide him. Let him become what you want him to become, as we know he will.
Bless.
Thank you for Brother AJ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen.
AJ, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anybody else? While Jeremiah's in the water. Amen, Jeremiah.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
That's the thing that I love about the Bible studies.
Yes.
Is that gives us an opportunity to be able to explain these things that when people don't understand, they get an opportunity to ask questions and can really get an understanding of why they do what they're doing. Amen. Now, I've got a book here. We ordered these. Christ the Mystery, Brother Lockett. We got about 20 of these back in that room. This is one of my favorite books. It's required reading. It's not required, but if you want to be blessed. If you don't have one, we have some back there. If we need to get some more, we can. But you're welcome to them. We will make sure that they're somewhere where you can get to them after service. But this is a good book. This is a book where Brother Branham said that, look at the clock, it's 2 o'clock on the nose. I think it's required. 2 o'clock on the nose. Second pool is ended. Third pool is at hand. I would require it, but I know I don't have to because the believers want it. So they're here. You're welcome to them. And Brother Lockett, get you a good one. I gave him one of mine. I don't know if you want a new one. Okay. I don't give out my books too often. I told him, I said, Brother Lockett, I'm going to give you this one. You know I will. But I like to keep them on hand because, you know, sometimes people want to know. And if you want to know what I want, would like to give you a book to read, that is one that's very good. It has so much in it. And I appreciate it. And I quote from it a lot. So you'll find out where I get some of my quotes from. So that's good. Amen. I appreciate all those who were baptized. And pray that God will bless you. Because you've stepped out on his word. That's what you've done. You've stepped out on his word. And by you stepping out on his word, he will honor you. And he will take you further than where you think you're at now. And because as you walk in the light, and as the word comes forth, and you step out on it, you can't help but to walk into more light. So God bless you. We're going to sing, God has smiled on me. Because he has. He smiled on us tonight. Good to have our sis here. Good to have you with us. Come again. You're more than welcome. And it's good to have, of course, Mike. He's a fixture for us. Amen. But it's good to have you all here. So it wouldn't be a church if you all weren't here. So God smiled on us tonight by bringing us his word. Amen. Come back on Sunday. Now pray for me and Clarice and Melanie. We're going to be going to Atlanta this weekend to visit our family. So we won't be here, but I text my brothers today, so they're going to handle it. And we'll be heading out Friday morning and be back sometime Sunday. So pray for us as we travel.
Yes.
And Jeremiah, I appreciate you being so willing to preach, pray, and baptize. So God bless you. Amen. Until we get together again. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh yes, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. He's the source of all my joy. He is the source of all
your knees.